this where you get to have an impact on kids' lives.
It's awesome, because I remember when I was a kid, I used to do events like this, and we used to do, I think we did one when I was a Milbank kid, which was kind of like a nonprofit organization in New York. And I remember like Chris Duhon came, mm-hmm. and Omari Stoudemire came, and it was awesome to finally, you know, be on the opposite end of this. It's, you know, it's pretty cool.
When kids tell you, I look up to you, you're my role model, things like that, how serious do you take that responsibility of wanting to set a good example for kids?
I take it very seriously, because the platform is there for me to have significant change on the youth, which is the world, which is the future.
What was the message that maybe those guys, Chris or Omari, may have said or that stuck with you?
It wasn't necessarily anything they said. Okay. It was just them just being around and just, you know, seeing their face and seeing that they're real people and not just on TV screens. It meant everything.
I saw that you gave one of your buddies a new car. Oh, what is it like that you've been able to give back to some of these folks who have helped you along the way?
It's been awesome. He's been someone who's been in my corner since the third grade, and just a small token of my appreciation.
And what is the background there? Can you explain?
He's been my best friend since we were in third grade. I remember the first time I met him, we were playing kickball. And I kid you not, it was about four kids playing, taking on 50 kids. And four kids were on offense. And I was like, can I be on this team? And he was like, no. And then I kept coming back each day of that week. And he was finally budged and let me play on the team. But ever since then, since third grade, he's literally been my best friend. It's been, since I was in college, he would always offer, like, you know, kind of like moral support mm-hmm. for me. In high school, he would always come to games and surprise me. And, you know, it's a relationship that I kind of held on to and lost since I was so young.
Well, what have you learned about Orlando? How much are you using this time to kind of adapt to living in Central Florida? How much have you learned your way around?
I'm still very new to the area. Mm-hmm. I think I'm quite familiar with the weather now. As we were mentioned before we started filming, but it's a difference. You know, growing up in New York, it's a big city. You step outside and there's always something to do here. Things are a little slower, and you know, it's nice.
Do you look for new restaurants and those sort of things? Are you settled as far as a place to live and everything?
I'm still figuring out where I'm going to live temporarily in a temp apartment now. But as far as restaurants, there's a bunch of restaurants like in the Winter Park area that need some exploring.
Are you a foodie?
Kind of.
Yeah.
No, okay. My food taste is very it's odd, because I'm not as bold to try like super new things, but you know, I'll give something a shot every once in a while.
How much did the summer league give you that, help you with that transition and show you, you know, what the next level is going to be like? Because it's going to be even, yeah, you know, greater at the NBA level.
Yeah. Well, when I talk to the veteran guys, they're telling me, like, don't, like, summer league is nothing compared to to the actual show. But it was definitely good to finally play, like, in, you know, in front of a live crowd, in front of people, you know, other than your teammates and other than a pad. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. You know, it wasn't fun that I was, you know, like on. I like looked back at the log sheet and like went over like film and everything of it, and I was like, I only played 20 minutes a game, and I was like on a little minute restriction there. But it was definitely fun.
What are you working on now before camp?
Just my body, making sure my conditioning is, you know, as best as it could be, making sure, you know, just kind of doing like a maintenance check of everything and working on my skills with all the coaches.
What's a typical off-season day look like for you? You know, the days when you're in the gym, mm-hmm. how much time are you spending at the arena?
I'd say it's about a four-hour block each day I spend at the arena from mm-hmm. about 8:30 to about 12:30, 1-ish, and, you know, just doing like doing an array of different things as far as like obviously on the court, in the weight room, treatment, and just hanging around. Mm-hmm.
You've talked about how your game is night and day from when you left Texas to where it was going into summer league. How much can you improve, you know, over the next 6 weeks before training camp starts?
Just the same. Like I kept telling people, like, I'm ready to get out to Orlando and just get right back in the same regimen that I was on during the pre-draft. And, you know, I take this time very seriously, because it's just like the off season is for the betterment of the player.
How much is also establishing the relationships with the guys that you're going to be around with the Magic?
Yeah, so Timo is always, Timofey Mozgov is always in the arena, and I poke fun at his Russian hip-hop or whatever he calls it. Vooch is always around, AG is always around. I think he's in New York right now, but I'll be in New York next week for, you know, the rookie transition stuff, so I'll get to see him up there. But, you know, in the minutes of getting drafted, I got a text from, like, the core group of our veteran guys. So, no, it's a family organization.
A lot of fans got to see that chemistry between you and Jonathan. Mm-hmm. How nice is that to have a guy that you've known for a bunch of years, mm-hmm. and you could see ways that you guys can kind of play off of each other?
Yeah, and it really is off the court, really, how we are off the court. You know, he's a great dude, and I kind of, mm-hmm. like, he's such a good dude. Like, he reminds me of Matt Coleman. Matt was such an unselfish dude that kind of, like, carried over into my life, and I was like, I'm going to try to one-up him on being unselfish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys get a sense of kind of the buzz back here that fans were getting, watching the two of you out there together? Is that something that you guys were able to pick up on at all?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just walking the streets, you hear people screaming, you know, you and John, like, we're ready, you know, to see what you guys have or whatever. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
How long have you had the new hairstyle?
This is about a week. Yeah. I won't be keeping it in too long. Hopefully my mom doesn't see it.
Good news.
Is there anything you want to tell the kids today? I mean, have you thought about, mm-hmm. you know, meeting in front of them and stuff?
One thing that I would probably tell the kids is to just believe in themselves and, you know, shoot for the stars. As cheesy as it sounds, it's like a real thing, you know, being told to get out and don't be afraid to fail and to try new things, it really makes a difference.
Is there any part of you when you met Amari and Chris Duhon who says, man, I want to be in their shoes one day, I want to be an NBA player?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that was like the first time that, like, I was about 10, mm-hmm. 11, 10-ish, and that was the first time I was like, you know, I really want to do this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How tall were you at 10 or 11 years old?
About like 6'4". No, I'm joking. At the age of 10, I was 5'9", 5'10", I think.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty tall for a
kid.
Yeah.